Are you curious what it's like being an influencer behind the scenes? Hi, my name is Quinton Hyde, and welcome to the Quinton Hyde Podcast, a podcast in which I basically connect a little bit more to my existing audience that I've got out of YouTube, TikTok, all of that, and it's really just us vibing and talking for about 30 minutes or so. So I was thinking, a lot of people are always like, I want to be an influencer, and that is my single and only goal as well. But do you actually know what kind of crazy stuff goes around in the background? So I was gonna talk about that today. First off, what I wanted to start off is a lot of things have to do with money. A lot of people are like, how much money do you make? What do you make your money out of? And I think the main thing people make their money out of is deals. So what I wanted to get into was awful brand deals, because I get offered a ton of deals, and I'm so sorry. There we go. And I got, I think I declined pretty much all of them. As a matter of fact, I think I've only accepted one in my entire career thus far, because they're all so bad. So let's start off with awful deals. One of the deals that I got in my inbox a little while ago was one from a German company. So I was like, okay, that's very interesting. And they were offering me a deal to promote a toy horse. And this was like one of those horses that kids ride around on, but it also said like, no electricity, no mechanics, kids just ride on it, was the description. And there was also a picture with it, and genuinely like the legs couldn't move, it didn't have one of those flippity floppity kind of things, you know, which you can use to rock back and forth. It literally was just a horse on four legs. So how do kids ride around on it? Because it makes me wonder, if it's like the same as when you're sitting on a chair and you're just like trying to scooch forward on that chair and you're just like scraping across the ground. Like that's kind of the way I think that worked. Additionally, that entire email was in the weirdest font you can imagine. Like I don't even know what that font was. It was also fully in blue. Like all the text was like bright blue, which was, it made it feel super spammy. Additionally, the reason I obviously turned it down, apart from what they offered me, which you're about to hear, is they kind of expected that my audience is like 4 years old or like young parents or something, which neither of them is true. I'm 22 years old and my audience, like my target audience, is between 13 and 17 with outliers above and below, obviously. But I don't really think that any of my audience is gonna buy a rocking, not rocking horse. The thing is, why did I also turn it down? Well, because they offered me as a payment, hold up, one of those horses. No money, no nothing, just I would get shipped one of those horses for free. For, I don't know, my kids, I guess? Not sure what they were thinking, but I definitely turned it down. Something else, like, I'm keeping the best one for last, by the way. I'm keeping the most awful one for last. I get offered bikinis a lot. Like, genuinely, I think not a week goes, well, not a week, maybe every 2 weeks or so, I get a bikini offer. It's like a brand on Instagram, and they message me and they're like, we love your vibe. They're not using my name, it's like a standard email. And they ask me if I want a free bikini to do a promo. Also, first off, free stuff is really only interesting if I like that stuff, and if it's like a little bit of monetary value. You're free to know that for a TikTok video, my base price, so like my lowest price, is 300 euros. And that's like when you want a non-extravagant video. That's like 300 euros at least. I don't go under that. My management is like, please don't go under that. So I kind of look at what they're offering me and if that is equal to that number. If it's something I really, 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 really like and it's like 200 or 100 or something, I might consider it, but usually I won't do it. But yeah, so first off, a free bikini. If you are new here and you're just listening to the audio, I'm a guy. I don't wear bikinis. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you're a guy and you want to wear a bikini, I'm totally cool with that. I just really don't. But, however, these are the only deals I do reply to, because I want them to realize that they're wrong, but still send it to me, because I will 100% appear in a video with a bikini on. So I always reply like, dear, whatever their name is, I think I would look absolutely beautiful in these bikinis. Please send them to me immediately. And then they never, ever reply again. I'm so sad about that because they keep asking me and they never actually send me a bikini. Additionally, I also get fitness offers a lot. Again, if you've never seen me, I'm a pretty thin guy to the extent that, like, you wouldn't look at me and go, oh, that guy, he lives in the gym. Because I really don't. But it's always like those weird sports drinks or like those weird sports protein mixes and that kind of stuff. And like sports wear as well. But it's never like the good brats. It's never like Gymshark and stuff, because they obviously they actually focus on fitness influencers. But it's just like these random startups that get their stuff out of China. Again, nothing wrong with getting your stuff out of China. It's just, you know, it's you can see when they're doing it. You can see when they're like drop shipping or something, which is where you buy something and then ship it immediately like from AliExpress to your consumer. That's kind of what they're doing pretty much always. Nothing wrong with it, but it's just, it's different from having your own products manufactured for your brand. And for some reason, they always reply to me too, but those go straight into the bin. Lastly, this is the best of the awful deals, the most awful, awful one, and it's actually the most recent one as well. I got this guy, he messaged me on Instagram, at Quentin Hyde, by the way. And he messaged me and he said, hey Quentin, I started a clothing brand and I would love to see if we could do a collaboration. Would you be up for that? So I say, I might be, please do tell me more, because you know, I had zero information. Additionally, normally when a clothing brand says collaboration, this doesn't mean promo, but they wanna like release a product together with you. So like imagine a brand name X Quentin Hyde shirt, which is just like a collaborative piece between them and me, for example. but then he was like, please send me a text message over WhatsApp, here's my phone number. So that already ticks me off, because I'm like, you want something from me? I should not have to do, like, effort to reach out to you then. But for some reason, I don't know, I was feeling it. I was like, okay, you know what? Sure, let's do this. So I messaged him on actually my business number, because I got a second number, which is a business number essentially on WhatsApp, which I use only on WhatsApp. And it's actually for you, for my viewers, to be able to WhatsApp me, because it's a totally open number. But I used that one because for some reason I didn't trust this guy with my own phone number. Because he had like zero credibility. I was like, I don't want him to leak it. So I messaged him. I was like, hey fella, this is Quentin. I would like to have some more information. He immediately sends me a copy-pasted message, which is like as long as my face. And it starts off with this. It was in Dutch, so I'm just kind of freely translating it in my mind. But it was something along the lines of, these are our demands. We want. And then it started a list. 5 TikTok videos, an Instagram post, an Instagram story post, your use of our special hashtag, and a written review for our website. Also, like, that's a weird thing to ask a creator, like, to write you a review. That to me, that was a little bit weird. And then he ended the message. And then I was like, okay, fella, this is what you're asking me. But what is it that you're offering me? And you know what he said? You know what his offer was for 5 TikToks and all of that other, well, you know, garbage. Keeping in mind that I have a base price of 300. 1 free shirt. A shirt. And later, possibly other accessories. So I just look at that, I'm just like flabbergasted. I'm like, there's no way that you're asking all of this for something that will cost you personally no more than 12 euros or something. So I tell him that. I tell him pretty much exactly that. I'm like, you're asking for all of this for a shirt. And his reply was, well, you don't have to do it. And I was like, well, I am 100% sure I'm not. But it's like, you know, you, and he was like, yeah, well, other TikTokers have said yes. And I'm like, yeah, but they probably don't have the amount of followers I do, which is not a flex. It's just the case. Because if I had 2,000 followers for a free shirt, might have done it. Could have been cool. If I liked the shirt, I don't even know, because he never even sent a picture. I don't even know what it looked like, but not with someone who has over 100,000. Like, I'm not going to be doing that, obviously. Additionally, I get, I think every week, 3 or so offers from brands like that who offer me, like my payment would be a 50% discount. And I always tell them like, you're asking me to do something for you. And my payment is that I can buy your product cheaper. That makes no sense. And then I just never hear from them again because they know it doesn't make any sense. But those are the awful deals. Something else that goes on a lot behind the scenes of influencers is drama. There's so much, especially, I don't know if that's universally the case, but in the Netherlands, which, you know, is the people I deal with the most, There is so much drama. Luckily, not for me. Genuinely, I am so glad to say that most people like me or at least tolerate me within the Dutch TikTok, at least, community. YouTube as well, kind of, but at least the TikTok one. Because there's so many people, like, behind the scenes that just talk about each other in such negative ways, where it's like, you know, they'll appear in a video together, they'll be like, aha, we're best friends, this is such fun, and then afterwards they both talk to me, like, poorly about each other. I always try to stay out of this, but it's a very nasty thing, and I'm telling you, because I want you to know, and I think most people knew, like, most people kind of feel it, but my mom has always instilled on me, don't believe everything you see in media. If it's social media, if it's TV, anything, because stuff is manipulated to make it appear better. Especially, for example, there was this Dutch trend on TikTok. People keep exposing their crush, quote unquote. They don't have crushes on those people. They literally are in group chats, and sometimes they're like, yo, hey, who wants to be my crush for the weekend? They're gonna make these videos to drive traffic. And here's the thing. First off, not everyone does this. I don't want to be that person that just sits here and be like, you know, everyone does that. Just everyone you see that, like, doing that, just roast them. Don't do that. Please be nice. Please be nice to everyone. I just know that there are people who do that. And I want you to know, you know, it's not a scam. It's not bad or anything. Because some of these people actually really like each other behind the scenes. Like, I know of relationships that are secret that I'm not going to mention, but that started because these two people would do these kind of things together, and then they would actually fall in love. Like, it's the weirdest romance story, but it does actually happen. It's just I want you to understand that not everything you see is real, but at the same time, don't be too skeptical in which you think that everything you see is fake, because that's also like not a nice way to consume your media. Because if you look at everything and you're constantly like, oh, this is probably fake, oh, it's probably fake, you're not really going to be enjoying yourself, obviously. Which also brings me on the next point, which is like privacy versus whatever you share in public. Like, it's not a lot of people know this, but I actually got out of a relationship. What's the date? Say 3.5 months ago. I was heartbroken to the max. I was really depressed for a couple weeks. It's just like, there was this one, I think March, I posted like no YouTube videos, and my TikToks were very sporadic and all of that kind of stuff. And the only thing I ever said was like, hey, I'm a little bit sad right now. There might be fewer posts. No one knew what was up. Like, only some personal friends who reached out to me, and like influencers I know IRL that would, you know, DM me or something, knew what happened. The reason I didn't share that is not because I didn't trust you or anything, but because the person I was with, she was like, don't share that yet. And I already wanted to share it for like a longer amount of time, but she never really wanted to. I respected that. In my mind, it was like, you know, after half a year of being together, I'll ask her again. But we never got to that point, unfortunately. But I think there's a very fine line between what do you keep private and what do you like put on the internet. I personally think I am sharing, or oversharing maybe, 99% of my life. You genuinely, if you follow me on, I want to say everything, but you pretty much know exactly who I am. I am not different in real life. Everything I say online is true. The only thing I might do is exaggerate slightly to make my story a little bit nicer, but there's never any lies in it. And I think that's very important to me, which is also like authenticity, which is also a thing I wrote on my notes, because I obviously have my iPad with notes here that I can now close because I went through all my notes because I don't use a lot of notes. But, sorry. But it's just like, I think being authentic and being real and sharing things with you is very important. And the reason I feel like that's very important is because you invest your time into me, and I want to invest that back into you, or at least that trust. Now, I'm not going to be sharing with you highly, highly personal information, and 99.9% of you are totally cool with that. Like, you understand, like, you specifically will probably understand if you ask me where I live, specifically when you ask for my address, that I will say, yeah, I'm not going to be telling you my address. Like, you're going to be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That 0.1% though, it has happened. TikTok didn't even exist yet. My YouTube wasn't even that small, but there was this girl in the Netherlands who really, really liked my videos. She was totally, like, you know, obsessed sounds so mean, but I mean slightly. Like, it doesn't matter what time it was in the day, because we actually tested this. Just 24/7, if I tweeted something, she would like the tweet in 6 seconds. We actually, no, I'm sorry, 9 seconds. Gotta be precise here. Me and my friends tested it, but like even at like 3 at night, 7 in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever I tweeted, 9 seconds later, she would like the tweet. She had fan pages, which is great, which is not obsessive, I like that a lot. She made edits about me and my friends. She used to make videos about me and my ex, who I was publicly dating at the time. And all of that I love. I love it when people are involved and like to make stuff about me. But what scared me is when she tracked down all of my personal information, my address, and personal information about my dad. And you're probably thinking, oh, wow, that is a bit much. And yes, it was. She could literally have gone to my house, and the way she did it is literally like, it was a story that sounded similar to something along the lines of, well, you see, in this one video that you posted 3 years ago on this old abandoned channel, if I cross-track that with like this one Snapchat that I saved, because she saved all my Snapchats at the time, I used to use Snapchat a lot, and then I combined that with this information I got out of an old expired domain, like a domain, like a website domain, that was not properly protected and it links to your name, and I can use that to link it to your dad, I can use that to link it to your, like, internship, I want to say. I think she actually found out where I used to work and all that kind of stuff. And she found my address. Like, she literally knew where I and my mom and my sister lived. And I did not like that. And she was very honest about it, but I didn't like that. And we actually, I don't want to say a fight, but a year later we got into like an argument because she found out that I had told my friends and family about this happening, and she got upset with me, saying that I should have asked her permission to share this information with my personal friends and family. And I was kind of just like, well, clearly no, because, you know, I could have gone to the police and all of that, because this is really illegal what you've done. She did not agree. Strangely, she did not agree at all, and she actually ended up unfollowing me and all of my friends. And then a few weeks later, she sent me this very interesting message along the lines of, was I only just ever a fan to you? I thought we were friends. And I didn't know how to reply to that, because it's like, I see you, and, you know, you, my audience, as friendly. And, you know, the creators say that a lot, and a lot of creators actually don't even mean it. This is not, again, not people who I personally hang out with, but I've heard people who don't necessarily enjoy everyone in their audience. I like 99.9% of my audience a lot. There's just the 0.1% that sometimes does really weird stuff, or just consistently pisses me off. And I'll tell you about that in a second, but I really like you in a friendly way. But can I say that we are friends the way I am friends with the people I went to school with or the people that I hang out with after, you know, after work? No. And I think that's a very realistic way of looking at it. You know, I don't think anyone is going to, like, anyone, at least with a mature mindset, is going to be like, what? You know, it's not shocking. It's not like a crazy revelation, I think. Also, yeah, let me just get to the pissing me off real quick. I get like no hate because my audience is lovely. I get no hate. I am like, even if I do, which is like once every 3 months, I don't care. Like, I've gotten a thick skin. I really don't care. There is just one type of comment, which I pretty much only get on TikTok, which pisses me the heck off. Because here's the thing. I always make my content in English everywhere except for that one specific TikTok. I got 2 TikTok accounts, Quentin Hyde, which is in Dutch, and The Quentin Hyde, which is in English. And Quentin Hyde, the Dutch account, happens to be a little bit larger. And everyone, because of that, automatically assumes that my Instagram, my Snapchat, my Twitter, my YouTube, everything is also going to be in Dutch, because most people do that. But here's the thing, it's never a secret that I generally don't enjoy Dutch content. I like some, I like my own, like, I'm not gonna lie about that. I triggered my Amazon Echo, that's a little bit weird. I did not say anything remotely, okay, anyway. But I hate the comment, which is like, why isn't this in Dutch too? I can't speak English, and I'm just like, then you're not my target audience. Then this video was not made for you. Or when I get like messages, well, like they comment like, maybe you should make this in Dutch. And I'm like, Well, maybe you should just learn English then. Or just watch anything else on the entire internet that you do understand. Because here's the thing, my target audience, which is like the audience I have in mind that I target, that I want me, like, to define me, speaks English, even the people from the Netherlands. So if you are someone from the Netherlands who doesn't speak English, you are technically not my target audience demographic, which means I don't necessarily... That sounds mean if I say, like, I don't want you on my videos. That's not true. I like everyone on my videos, but I don't target you specifically. Like, the videos are not made for you. They're made for the people that do speak it. And that's why it pisses me off so much, because it's like, just watch something else then. Or learn the language. It's like, you know, speaking English is not really an optional skill anymore. It's really something that you gotta know. But yeah, I think that's like the only pet peeve I got when it comes to like the behind the scenes influencer stuff. A lot of things, like a thing that people also don't really realize is that being a creator or an influencer and you're growing in it, it takes so much work. And here's the thing, making my TikTok videos, no work at all. To me, like, I don't take any more than like 3 minutes, pardon me, 3 minutes to create a TikTok video. Genuinely, no effort. YouTube videos, crazy effort. Takes so long, I hate editing. Please let me be rich enough to hire an editor. I hate it so much. Those take a lot of time. Tweets, not a lot of time. Instagram posts, I actually really like editing those. I take a little bit longer in those, but generally not a crazy amount of time. And you might be thinking that, like, what is the part that takes work then? All of the stuff around it. Like, maintaining an inbox of crazy, stupid offers, like, going through all of them being like, yep, nope, into the bin, nope, trash bin, nope, trash can, all gone, that kind of stuff. That takes so long. Talking to companies that you do want to work with takes long. I am in the very fortunate position that I have a manager for TikTok mainly, but the other stuff too, mainly TikTok, who does a bunch of stuff that I wouldn't want to do. But it's also like, I am creating revenue streams around my content, which means that I can make more money with like companies that I attach to my TikTok, keeping, you know, professional relationships on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. Like, no one loves LinkedIn. Like, if you watch me and you watch me as a consumer, basically, that means like, you know, you watch me because you like my content and you're not like watching this because you want to learn about being a content creator. You probably hate LinkedIn, but I love it. It's so fun to me. But all of that together just takes a lot of time. Like, all those tiny little bits together take very long. It's why pretty much every larger creator, when they get a little bit larger, they hire people to do stuff. Like, they hire a producer. I would love a producer. A producer for YouTube videos. Like, I have so many crazy ideas that would just like take care of the location, take care of the stuff that I would need to get. Like, all the preparations just be done by another person. Gosh, I would love that so much. That'd be so great. Because it's just all the little bits together that make it like a huge amount of work. Especially because right now, and you're free to know that, I don't make a lot of money. I do not make a lot of money because I turn down all offers. Mainly because I've never really gotten any good offers. Like, all the offers are pretty garbage. And my manager is working like very much on, you know, making me more money, essentially. And with that, himself. And themselves. There are two of them. They have a company together. And they're dating. It's really cute. I don't know, I really like it when people are dating. I love love. No, but like, it's all of that together with my actual job that I use, or like, that I do to, you know, live and pay my rent, takes a ton of time. Thing is, it's my hobby. I love it. I love being a content creator. It's literally my only passion. Like, people ask me, like, what is your hobby? It's this. I have no other passions. And I've had people ask me, like, what would you do if social media went away? Genuinely, no clue. I have no other passions. I don't know, maybe I would, like, go back to, like, because if social media would disappear, we'd probably all be reading newspapers again. I would, like, try and start a newspaper or something. I just love media. I just love all of that. There's nothing else that I enjoy. Yeah, I used to be a swimmer, but do I want to be a swimmer? Heck no. Do I want to swim, like, consistently all the time? No, I don't. I have no other hobbies. This is the only thing for me. I think, I think it's all of the crazy stuff in the background as well that makes it fun. Because I've mentioned a lot of, you know, businessy stuff, a lot of crazy stuff, like, oh my god, someone stalked down your address. But a ton of it is actually really fun. Like, a ton of it is wonderful, actually, because I've made so many friends. Both of my relationships started because I met them through social media. I've only ever dated other creators. I mean, they ended up both, you know, not being wonderful for my mental health in the end, but I still had good times with them. And it still started because of the internet and because of social media. And the fact that you're listening to this too, like, this is kind of a behind the scenes thing for me, because I am the behind the scenes, you know, this happening is me behind the scenes, obviously. But I would have never met you, and you would have never met me, had it not been for social media. And I think all of that, like the personal connections and the crazy things it brings you. Like, I've been on a red carpet. I've been on a movie premiere red carpet in suit because I have TikTok followers. That's mind-blowing to me. That kind of stuff is crazy. I've been to another TikToker's book release. Like, she released a book and there was a book release party. I was there. I've been, like, again, the red carpet thing, I was allowed to bring one of my best friends. Like, I could just take him along. Just be like, hey, fella, do you want to walk a red carpet with me? Like, a guy I've known since I started, who I also met through social media. It's all that kind of stuff that really makes it worth it. Because what I always say is, like, I don't necessarily love content creation, because I hate video editing. I hate writing text. I hate audio editing, all of it. I don't like it because I've done it so much. The only thing I like is photo editing because it's really low key for me. I can just put some music on, that kind of stuff. But I love content output. I love having made it and putting it out there and having you say, I like this, or I didn't like this for this reason. That's the thing I like, how it starts a conversation and how it brings me and with that together you to really crazy situations, or have you message me saying, like, I was really sad, but now I'm not anymore. That is the kind of stuff that really does it for me, not necessarily the content output, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. I was like, sorry, the content creation. I messed up my sentence there, but that is really influencer life behind the scenes. I might at some point in my life do an update on it when I do more crazy stuff and when I've gone full-time. I am slowly creeping up to the point that I can be a full-time content creator, and that is genuinely right now my main goal. So thank you so much for being here on the Quinton Heights second episode podcast. That was the worst sentence I've ever spoken in my life, and I would love to see you next week, every Sunday, soon to be on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all of that stuff, but right now it's just on YouTube. I'd love to see you next time. Bye, everyone.